Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of NDB Media's Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Yep, typical. The music starts after. Right now. Well, as we said, folks, it is Saturday morning, and you are listening to Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday, and, of course, home of the Cellar Dwellers as well. I'm the scorekeeper, and, folks, it's time to get this show on the road. Good morning, everyone. Wow. Saturday morning. Let's break a knee to get this program. Oh, shouldn't have said that, huh? A break a leg, a break a whatever. Whatever that basketball player did. Oh, horrible. It was horrible. Oh, man, that's Spanish for horrible. Oh, my goodness, was it horrible. But our thoughts and prayers to, let's see, what's his name here? Paul George. I saw it. Ugh, horrible. Man, it was rather frightening. But, again, our thoughts and prayers are going to him. I'm going to ask you to bear with me a quick moment. Chat room is open. I'm going to go ahead and put the notice out on Twitter. Sports Talk with the Guys is live. Okay, that's going to go via Twitter, Facebook page, and Blog Talk Radio. So let's see if we can make this happen. Come on. Come on. Let's do it. There it is. Message sent. So we're all over the world. Wow. We're going to go over some scores right now for Major League Baseball that happened yesterday. And, wow, we'll talk about the Red Sox later. But they did win yesterday, and they beat the vaunted Yankees, the world champion Boston Red Sox. It's the Yankees 4-3 yesterday. Get that out of the way. There it is. It's done. Wow. Philadelphia 2, Washington 1, Baltimore 2-1. Over Seattle, Cleveland 12-2 over Texas. Wow, they got their act together. Detroit 4, Colorado 2, Cincinnati. Oh, stupid Miami. They lost to Cincinnati 5-2. The Los Angeles Angels of Chavez Ravine beat Tampa Bay by two, 5-3. The aforementioned Boston 4-3 over the Yankees. The Giants 5-1 over the Mets. The White Sox by two. Over Los Gemelitos in Minnesota, 10-8. Houston, 3-1 over Toronto. Milwaukee, 7-4 over St. Louis. Uh-oh. I thought St. Louis picked up that ace. I don't know if it's going to happen, though. Los Reales of Kansas City beat the shutout. Oakland, 1-0. Pittsburgh, 9-4 over Arizona. San Diego, 10-1 over Atlanta. And The Cubs win over the Dodgers, 8-2. Wow, that's amazing. That is certainly amazing. Let's take a quick look at standings, and we'll go over them, and then we'll go over all the news that we have. Yes, I did my homework, folks. I really did my homework. In the American League East, Baltimore 61-47, followed by Toronto 2.5 games back. In the Central, Detroit 59-47, 4 games ahead of Kansas City. In the West, Oakland 66-42, 1 limey blasted game ahead of the Los Angeles Angels of Chavez Ravine. In the National League, Washington 58-49, ahead of Atlanta by a game and a half. Milwaukee 61-49, ahead of Pittsburgh 2.5, back, and Los Dodgers on first place. I didn't know. 62-48 over San Francisco, 2.5 back. That's what we have in standing in the Major League Baseball. Wow. I want to welcome them in this morning, the Couch Potato and Tim McLeod. So I'm going to wait till Couch Potato decides to join me. But this one's for Tim. Let's get it done right now, baby. Better work. He is our knucklehead.
Yes, it's Tim. Over here.
Yeah, he's here. I feel better. Too damn early.
Way too early for this one.
It looks like I am, Tim. It looks like I am. And I don't know. We'll see. Maybe the big dog had a late shift, but he doesn't tell me anything anymore. So, it's all good. There's a lot of stories that we're going to go over. I have a lot of news to report. We're going to start off in baseball. Don't know if you guys caught it, but, well, most of you in baseball know this, except for Casper too. On July 4th, 1939, Lou Gehrig gave his famous speech. There were over 60,000 people who attended that game, and there's only two ticket stubs known to exist, and one of them had Lou Gehrig's signature, and it was sold at auction for $95,600. Wow.
Yeah, seriously.
A little bit of unimportant news. Los Jamelitos signed catcher Kurt Suzuki, who's 31, to a $12 million 2-year contract. And here comes my rant, guys. Apparently, central fielder is hurt. You know that. And he's not playing. And the Rangers will not hurry his return. You know, they're in, the stuckiest place in all of baseball right now. You know, since having had cervical fusion of two discs in his neck on May 27th, had they been in the playoffs, they probably would have rushed him back, hurried him back, but they're not. They're in the suckiest place in baseball. Fine. He can't play. But here it comes, folks. Here it comes. After that, really, he can't play? His major fat assness was in the ESPN Body magazine, and folks, I'm not going to even suggest any of you check it out. But my wife, who is a connoisseur of men, and I say that respectfully, she loves to watch male sports, she saw the ESPN moment where Cecil Fielder was doing his shtick, and I use that term loosely, but he was moving his neck very well, moving his body, but she saw it, and she threw up. How do I know? I had to clean it up. See, yeah, I rhymed. And it was disgusting. But my thing is, wait a minute. Cecil Fielder's hurt. And yet he can pose. He is a poser. We know that. But he can pose for the ESPN body double issue? Huh. Look at the video, folks. And again, his corpulentness had excellent movement. Funny how he can pose for ESPN, the body issue, and not play baseball. Sounds to me like that's selfish. But anyway, may have noticed, the Red Sox sold everything. Let me see. They gave everything away. The world champion Red Sox sold everything. They gave it away. What did the Yankees do? Let's see, the Yankees sucked this year, but they're a lot better off than Boston. Oh, and they didn't give anyone away. They didn't trade anyone away. They're still in the race. No matter how pathetic it seems, the Yankees are still in the race. Because, let me see. No matter how badly the Yankees suck, they will never call it a season. They will never raffle off or give away their players in an alleged lost season. Folks, this whole thing that the Yankees are going to rebuild, who in the hell are you? Where have you been? The Yankees never rebuild. That's the problem with the Yankees. But you know what? I love it, and I love being a Yankee. And in all the years since 1979, I've been a Yankee. The Yankees have never called it quits during the season, and they've never sold off their players or traded them away. Because 29 teams in baseball do it. The Yankees don't. Yeah, that was a triple never. A triple, triple, triple. And speaking of a triple, oh my goodness, he is awake. He is alive. He is here, and I want to welcome him. And the reason why I'm stalling on the intro is because I have to find the music. Even though I have it under intro, we've got so many damn files on this thing. There it is.
Just a good old boy. Never meaning no harm.
Whatever.
Beats all you never saw. Been in trouble with the law since the day they was born.
Good morning, Brian! What up, man?
Good morning. How's everything going in California?
Well, it's not hot yet, if that's what you're wondering.
Okay. Well, I'm in Alabama this weekend for a wedding, so a little different scenery than the big city in Atlanta, so a lot of cars coming by on these back roads, but what was Boston thinking getting rid of Lester, though?
I really don't. Bad management, honestly. It's a shame that they couldn't come to a deal with him, but they figured they could get something for him now. That's the reality. And Lester has stated that he wants to remain with Boston, so maybe Boston could. I mean, if I were a general manager and I knew my guy was that loyal and he was due for a free agent contract, I would just tell him, dude, between you and me, I'll pay you the money you want, but let's pull off this deal. Let's go screw this team, get all their prospects, you go over there for a few months, and you come back, and I give you the multi-billion-dollar deal, and we just screw that team.
That's what I would do.
But that's
that sounds good, Roger. That could possibly be a scenario we're looking at next time.
It's very possible. It really is. There are no guarantees in baseball, and if the player were to get hurt, you know, you're still going to sign them to a multi-billion-dollar deal. There are so many things that go into it. But, Brian, if I were a general manager, that's what I would do. I'd go, dude, I want to rebuild the team, but I'm going to lend you for 2 months. Is that okay with you?
And also, Oakland got rid of them. You know, they're not an offensive team, but they got rid of their best player. I mean, would you agree with that, that what, Cespedes is the best player on Oakland?
Oakland is scoring a lot of – okay. He's a monster, and I hate using such generic terms, but Cespedes is, but there are other issues to Cespedes. This is I don't know what happens, but when those guys leave Cuba, I mean, they think they're free to be stupid. They're free to be whatever. They're not disciplined, and they have issues. And I think Oakland just said, you know what, we got a chance to get Lester. We're going to lose Cespedes in a year. Let's see if we can get someone for him. And they did. And Oakland, wow. Talk about rebuilding their entire rotation during the season. Oakland can score runs. So, they're going to miss him. But I think they did well to get Lester for now. I really do.
Yeah, Lester's a good pitcher, but Oakland, to me, and I haven't studied baseball as much as you have, seems like they had a good rotation. And to add another guy to the rotation, but give away a run, an RBI machine, really, and a home run hitter. I think the guy's won the home run derby 2 times in a row. I mean, I thought it was an odd trade. But I do see Boston trying to surrender right now. You don't give away your best pitcher if you're not trying just to tank the season.
Boston season, it's funny, 2 weeks ago, everyone was talking about, uh-oh, here comes Boston. They're starting to get serious. Looks like they get their act together. Boston had some serious problems to begin with, and I didn't think they were ever going to be in it. I didn't think we were going to repeat. But here's the funny thing. Boston has the chance to be the first team ever in history to go from last place to World Series champions to last place. Wow. No one's done that. And
well,
Boston,
you know, I would take that, Roger. If it met every other year, I would come back the first to win a World Series. But you
look, Lester is an excellent pitcher. He has some, you know, I kind of thought about it myself. I really didn't want to get Lester. I would love to have him, but not at the price that they wanted. Lester is a good pitcher. I really think he is. But he is hurt a lot. And that's the impression that I have of him, that he's generally down for something. And, maybe long-term Boston did the right thing. But
yeah, especially if they go back and get him. I mean, if they did what you said, went back and got him, just said, hey, we love you, man. Go win a World Series. Without us, we suck right now. We're going to take their best offensive player away, maybe do some more moves in the offseason, come back next year, and make a run at it.
Yeah, you know, they have Cespedes for a year. That would be really something if they got Lester back. See, Boston can throw all the money they want at him, but what Lester wants, he wants a big, long-range deal. And now he's on the north side, as people like to say, of 30. And now people, I mean, guys, if this wasn't so before, it is now. Anyone who is over 30 in baseball, it is a major risk, and teams do not want to really give those long-term deals now. And it's becoming imperative that all the guys in the minor leagues need to see this and know this, that if you guys are going to sign long-term deals, you're going to have to time it right, because the minute you cross 30, you're old in baseball terms, at least as far as contracts go.
Especially seeing the pitchers these days with the injuries. And, I mean, they're more commonplace now, Roger. Every day you see somebody almost with Tommy John surgery or some arm issue, so you're going to get up in your 30s where everything hurts more and give them more money in a long-term deal. I mean, if you're a player, you can't really expect that.
Yeah. I would love to talk to the Tri-State Sports guys again and see if we can get Tommy John back on their program. Or, you know what, maybe I'm going to try to get a hold of Tommy John directly, because this is the man that it will forever be known. You know, he was able to come back. He was a fireballer. And he came back and he became a sinker baller. But he pitched, I believe, more years after the surgery than he did prior to the surgery. But, yeah, Tim, it's an epidemic as to what's going on. And I have several theories. I love Tommy John, because I've been saying this for years now. And Tommy John said it on the program. He says, dude, they need to throw every day. They need to throw. Funny how the Atlanta Braves in the 1990s rarely ever got hurt. Why was that? Because they threw every day. It's unbelievable. The only day they didn't throw was the day after their start. After that, they threw every day. And it's kind of like using, you know, something. You rarely ever use it. Chances of it getting broken or hurt are even greater. So, baseball's got to redo everything. They're going to have to reevaluate. I got to tell you, if there's a kid who has been pitching since he was 10 and he is throwing 100 miles an hour, Brian, as an organization, I'm not dropping that guy.
No, his arm's going to be used up by the time he gets there.
Yeah. Can you imagine that they're going to be evaluating kids that way now, that when they're 18, hey, how many years have you got in the play leagues? Not the minor leagues, but how many years do you have down there? And it's going to be unbelievable. I think for scouters, it's going to be awesome, because they're going to have to go and start hitting up the pony leagues. Say, oh, hey, what's this kid's name? Yeah, here, put his thumbprint right there so we can follow him for the next 12 years. And, I think that's what it's going to come to. That when these pitchers have been throwing for 10 years, by the time they're I really believe they're done because they've been used up already.
So do you believe that if you can tell a kid's a good pitcher at an early age, say 10 years old, that you let him play another position until, what, high school?
Hey, Tim. Or, I'm sorry. Didn't mean to call you, Tim, because I was reading the chat room real quick. Let me answer that. Matt Alvarez, good morning. Welcome to the chat room. Of course, Couch Potato. I don't know where he is. Maybe he's butt hurt because I wrote his ass on Boston today for his comment 2 weeks ago that the Yankees should acknowledge that they suck and that they should reload. And I told Couch Potato the Yankees never do that. So anyway, good morning, Tim McLeod. Good morning, Zeke. I am a Mets fan only when it suits me, Zeke. To answer your question, ask me again.
Right.
If you have a kid that's, say, 10 years old and you see that he's got the stuff to be a good pitcher maybe one day, do you hold back on pitching him until maybe he gets a high school coach that could work with him better? Because now these rec league coaches, they don't know anything. You know, these minor league, major league, pony league, you know, they don't know anything. So maybe wait till he's in high school and save those pitches, save that arm for many more years than what you do when he starts throwing curveballs at 10 and 11 years old.
Look, these, you know, that's an interesting conundrum right there because it is a genuine problem, Brian. Those guys in the league don't know how to handle these guys. It's a fact. They overuse them. I mean, look, they're getting hurt already because they're being overused. Look, if you have a sucky team and you have one pitcher, guess what? That one pitcher is going to pitch every game. That's just the way it's going to be. If there was some way that you could establish order down in the pony leagues, maybe. But, you know, adult parents are starting their kids off young, and they're parents are the ones probably responsible for these injuries. Because they themselves are not watching out for their kids. They're forcing them to play these sports at a competitive professional level at age 10. And that's just unbelievable. I remember playing those leagues, and the whole thing was getting dressed, acting like a baseball player, and playing. Some guys had the gift, some did not. Some were better than others, some did not. But we were never pushed on the level that they are pushed now. When you have parents fighting, Brian, in the stands over which kid's better, you know things are screwed up. And I may have lost Brian for a moment. I do want to welcome Cuervo in the chat room. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, guys, it is a vicious cycle. It is a problem. And it's for the money, though. Why are they doing it? For the money. And, yeah, if you score one major contract and you still get hurt, you're good. Guys, right now, today, if you have $1.5 million, any financial planner, any financial planner can set it up so you make $5,000 a month for the rest of your life. Without having to pay any additional tax, it would be covered. We can do it. I think with inflation, it might have changed just a little bit, but it's still $1.5 million. If you have $2 million, I could set it up so you would not have to work a day in your life. You get $5,000 a month for the rest of your life. One contract, guys. One contract. Imagine if they get two or three. So, anyway. That's some of the stuff that I have on baseball. Yeah, I ranted about the Red Sox. And yeah, Sonny, I did take it personally when you said one of the Yankees going to realize and, you know, sell off the team. Dude, they don't do that because they're the Yankees. That's the only reason why there are several reasons why I'm a Yankee fan, but that's one of the other reasons. And I love sticking that one in everyone's gut. We don't reload. We don't rebuild. We reload. And that's what it is. In basketball news, in the WNBA, the Mercury's win streak ends at 16. I think you guys caught that one. They lost to Lynx 75-67. The record of consecutive wins is 18 and held by your Los Angeles Sparks. I think that was during Lisa Leslie's time. Well, folks, looks like the NBA is going to be taking over the Twitterverse because they already own it now. The NBA has game, and they're going to put the Twitter at NBA on every basketball that is played and is sold. Right now, 10.7 million fans follow the NBA Twitter account, by far over every other sport. I didn't do the math, but it's possible that they have more than everyone combined, at least when it comes to baseball, football, and basketball. I was genuinely surprised to know that, or to see that. Major League Baseball, the NFL, they have several million, I don't recall. I know the NFL has more than the Major League Baseball and more than NHL, of course. But basketball has more Twitter followers. Like I said, 10.7 million. Wow. In additional news, and this was right before the Paul George one, Manu Ginobili will not play in the FIBA World Cup for Argentina because of a stress fracture. And if you guys didn't see it, yeah, it's one of those injuries. And on the disgusting side, Paul George injures his right leg, and the immediate report is that type of injury is going to be 9 to 12-month recovery. Yeah. Wow. Matt Alvarez says, that sounds good, Roger. Show me the money. Oh, hell yeah. Jerry Maguire, baby. We're talking about some Quan right here, folks. Show me the money. That's right. That's how it's done. So, if you haven't seen the video, it's disgusting. It rolls your stomach like he rolled his whatever. But he broke his leg, and it's ugly. It's disgusting. So, see, I'm going to go on and see what else I have in more news. Football, guys. This is Hall of Fame weekend. Don't know if you heard about it. Ray Guy. Oh, sorry. I just heard a groan. And it was, like, right outside the garage door. So, either there's something back there or there's some horny guy. I don't know. But I said Hall of Fame, and whatever it was, groans. Ray Guy is finally inducted into the NFL Hall of Fame, and it's going to be today at 4 p.m. Pacific time. His average of 42.4 yards per kick is only 61st all-time, and his net average of 32.2, I just said net yards, is not even in the top 100. But he is still considered by many to be the best ever to play the position. Of course, this weekend, Ray Guy joins Derek Brooks, Claude Humphrey, Walter Jones, Andre Reed, Michael Strahan. Yes, Michael Strahan, the one from TV with Kelly. And Ines Williams. So, congratulations to you gentlemen that are joining the Hall of Fame. And it's about time we finally see a kicker make it. So I can't, if Ray Guy made it, Shane Lechler, you are a Hall of Famer. So I am looking for that. Sonny Clark says I'm a kicker. And I'm telling you off the bat, hell no! Ray Guy is not a Hall of Famer. Well, thank you, Sonny. But all evidence to the contrary. Oh, well, no, you're right, Sonny Clark. He is not a Hall of Famer today. At 4 p.m. Pacific time, he will be, or thereabouts. In other football news, Marshawn Lynch's holdout is over. $5.5 million in base and roster bonuses. And the team says, that's not going to be much else. We're holding the line. The line must be drawn here. This far, no further. Seattle Mariners have done for Marshawn Lynch. Donald Trump has advanced in the next round of bidding for the Bills, folks. Oh, yes, he won the lotto number, and he's moving on up. You know he's trying to buy the Bills. And it looks to be that the NHL Sabre owners, Terry and Kim Spigulia, are expected to advance as well. Forbes has recently valued the Bills at $870 million, but are expected to sell for at least 1 billion quan. Wow. Also, Falcons defensive tackle Perry Jerry will retire. And I'm not going to beat this any further than you heard Ray Rice apologize. And I will give Ray Rice this. He didn't read a prepared statement. That's it. That's all you're getting, Ray. Yeah, that's all. Now, Roger Goodell finally broke his silence yesterday, and he said, you must look at the facts. He got testy because they were talking about Jon Stewart really making fun of the fact that he was, well, what are you going to say, basically suspended for 2 games when another guy was suspended a whole year for doing marijuana. And when they were talking about what Jon Stewart said, Goodell got very testy and very pissed, and he says, you must look at the facts, not go by rumor and innuendo. Everyone has an opinion, and we have a collective bargaining agreement in place. Did you know that you have to do something 4 times to get suspended? I think he was talking about the marijuana use, because if Ray Rice has beaten someone 3 other times or 4 times, wow. But I think he was just getting testy because they were getting mad. And I was telling Brian this on Wednesday. When management gets together, they evaluate the player, the history, and everything, and they generally make a decision. And then when they come outside and then they realize they made a sucky decision, you're like, holy shit, how the hell did we come to that? And it happens. You look at Ray Rice's record, and you make a decision on that. But Roger Goodell did get testy over what Jon Stewart was saying. He said, you have to be suspended, or there have to be 4 events for you to be suspended. For marijuana use! Okay, we get that. But, and I've been screaming about this for weeks now before anyone else has. Dude, Roethlisberger got 6 days for having sex with some woman. And it was reduced to 4. This guy beats his fiance, knocks her out. I don't know. Hey, you know, did he pull a Mike Tyson on her? Seriously. Think about it. Did he pull a Mike Tyson on her and bit her ear off? That's why they're still married? Yeah, I know. That's bad, isn't it? But I do want to welcome him on right now. Hold on one quick moment. He's making a lot of noise in the background, even though he's live. So I'm going to bring him on. Here we go. He is every female, well, most females' dream.
I've just closed my eyes again. Climbed aboard the Dreamweaver train.
Oh, yes, folks. Dream has gotten me through the night, and when power has gone out as well.
Good morning, Scorekeeper. How's it going, man?
Good morning, Dream. How are you? Very quick story. I'm going to spill the beans. Dream and I've known this young man since 1999, and over the years, we've still had time to meet up with each other and spend time at different restaurants. And I had Gmo with me. She was still very, very young. And all three of us went to Carl's Jr. to go spend an evening. And the entire city lost power. And it was amazing. We were in the restaurant, and it went dark. And we were like, wow, this is crazy. And my daughter still remembers that dream. She still remembers the power went out. And it was out for, like, what? About 30 seconds to a minute, huh?
Yeah, it was out for a lot longer than I thought it was going to be. She was a trooper, though, man. She hung on. She wasn't scared or anything. I think she was in her favorite restaurant at the time.
I think it's still probably
she was
mom
good.
Yeah, it was fun, and that's why I joke about Dream even gets us through even the darkest moments, and yeah, that's very true.
Yep,
I got to tell you. That's just yet one of the memories, but I can still say that Dream and I were able to get our pennies together, and one time we went out for all-you-can-eat pizza, and I swear to God, I think we still spent less than $5.
I'm pretty sure you're right on that one. I think it was like $1.99 for pizza, all-you-can-eat pizza. And
drink included?
It was, no, I think it was... Yeah, I'm pretty sure it included the drink. No wonder that place is out of business. I went there one too many times.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Hold on a minute. Tim. He's got to go. Damn it. Wow, it's already 6:35 and he's on his way. Tim, thank you, pal. One more time for you. I got to get this music going. Tim, he's always there to save our butt. He has on numerous occasions, and yet I'm good with myself. I can brag about it. But give me a moment, Dream. Let me play it for him. He is Tim McLeod, our favorite Knucklehead. Play, damn it. Oh, yes, folks, Tim has been called to duty. He has to go to work, has to fill the Cherry Coke and the Doritos so that the rest of us can enjoy our weekend. He is the greatest Knucklehead. It's Tim. Oh, yeah, and that bastard horse. Thanks, Timmy, baby. We'll see you, man. Oh, I love having Tim in the chat room, and it's always a pleasure when he visits with us. So it's absolutely awesome. Yes, Doritos. He has to load them up. That is Tim McLeod. Welcome to all the guests in the chat room. Want to bring him on right now. And, of course, want to bring on the man of the hour who I've been slamming all morning. Why? Because I can. And, yeah, Dream, don't take it personal, dude. I have nothing against you. I have it all against this man right now.
Good morning.
I have butchered it so many times, but I don't think I've ever butchered it this badly, have I?
I don't know if I should say this. This is a guy I know that does not go back and listen to his shows, because if he did, he would necessarily know that the music is ahead of him when he's doing this. For the last, you know, 4 or 5 months, the music has been ahead of you. So I'm not sure how that is or why that is while you do it. And it's so loud you can't even hear you anymore. So I get to hear the whole song, but I'm missing the Roger Noriega version of my intro. We can hardly hear it.
Just to let you know. Yes, thank you. Thank you for setting me straight. Sonny Clark and I have conversations at least once a week, maybe up to twice a week, but at least once a week. And he'll ask me, or he'll comment, you know, Raj, I was listening to our program, and I'm like, oh, shut up, and he's like, no, seriously, I went back to listen, and I loved when we did this, and I hated when we did that. And then there's a moment of silence. It's like, that's a team meeting, a forced team meeting, when you just kick the crap out of an opponent, and your inspirational spiritual coach said, yes, children, we just rode them to hell. But what did we do wrong in our victory? All the kids in the locker room look around and say, we just kicked their ass 50-12. You know? And that's what Sonny Clark pulls on me. He says, and Roger, yes. Or scorekeeper, yes. You know, we did this and this and this. And silence. And I'm like,
but then they scored 12.
Oh, yeah. That was good.
Another decimation is our goal.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I always tell Sonny, I can barely tolerate the sound of my voice now. You expect me to go back and listen? I can. I mean,
I didn't have the heart to tell you.
You didn't have the heart to tell me?
Yeah, I didn't have the heart to tell you, but I'm beginning to miss it now, so.
But I think we both needed that extra half hour of sleep this morning, though.
By the way.
Well, Sonny Clark, it's thrilling that you've thrown me under the bus for the last few months now by not having the heart to tell me. So, all right.
We could hear the song, though. The song is bad. The song is bad.
We can talk about the Red Sox and how you believe the Yankees should call the season and act like every other team and,
I'm just saying when they're going to do it, because the brain heads that sometime are in the front office of the Yankees, they're gonna go against sooner or later. I just have a feeling without George there.
Sooner or later, they're going to go that. I'm just, I'm not saying they're doing it this year. Don't take it out of context. I just say sooner or later that the front office of that of that franchise, they're going to do something stupid like do what other teams do within the Major League Baseball. That's all I said.
No. It was a lot more than that, but it's okay. Dream, I've got Sonny a little on the defensive. He's backpedaling right now. He scored a shot that I was offended by, and I'm not going to let it go. Ask Andrea about me not letting things go, baby.
Yeah, Adam.
Well, all right. I'm going to say this for the Yankees. This trading season, they didn't do as much as they would normally have done. They didn't do anything splashy. They didn't pick up any crazy deals. You know, they didn't let go of anybody crazy. So, compared to what, like, the Tigers have been doing and the Red Sox have been, like, moving pieces around and the Red Sox have been, like, throwing their big pieces around and shipping people off and the Athletics, oh, my God, Billy Beane, if he wins a World Series this year, I mean, he deserves a Hall of Fame. But I'm just saying, I'm throwing that out there. But, like, the Yankees didn't do anything crazy. I mean, you would expect them to have been like, oh, yeah, by the way, we're going to throw $100 million at this person over here, and they're going to come save the day, you know, even though they're 50 years old. But, you know, they pick up normally somebody that's older, veteran, and then they get a good year or two out of them, pay for a couple extra years, and then that's what it is. But, you know, nothing crazy this year from the Yankees. So I was hoping that they would have done something at least, but no. Didn't pry away any closers. They didn't get any big name offense. Anybody that's going to kill the fences, you know. Although Jeter did get a home run, but they still lost to the Red Sox. So it kills me. It kills me.
Yeah, it does. But look, nothing's going to change the fact that we are Yankee fans and we're good about it.
No.
You know, Dean and I do not go and brag about being Yankees, and we don't go bragging about how better and whatever we are, until we're provoked. Because Green and I always remain quiet. We know we're Yankees. We see our caps, and we don't rub it in anyone's face. I mean, by definition, the greatest.
I have a great story about that, actually. The other day, I was walking somewhere, and I was wearing my Yankees hat, and it's beat up and tattered and old and just disgusting. I mean, it started out the gray Yankees color. Now it looks like it's a retro cap because it's all gray, you know. But I swear, it looks like it's original from the era. But some guy, random person on the street stops me and is like, ha, your Yankees suck this year. And da, 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 what are you going to do? You know, you're a horrible team. I'm like, all right, I get it. Cool. You know, whatever. I'm trying to be civil about it. And I'm like, yeah, all right, you're right, you're right. And then and he just keeps on. And I don't remember why, but we're both there just waiting. And so he just keeps going, and the Dodgers are the best team ever, and da-da-da-da. And I'm like, all right, I get it. Okay, you know, you got a great pitching staff. You know, you got some great offense this year. You know, I get it. Cool. And he keeps riding me, and I'm like, all right, dude, enough is enough. Listen up. How many championships have you guys won in the last 20 years? Shut up. And then I left.
And you know, further.
Take it.
Yeah, Dream, do you know, and here's a lesson, folks. This is Yankee hatred 101. This is how I deal with people that say, oh, your Yankees suck and everything. Yeah, dude, I know they do. But it doesn't change anything. I'm not a bandwagoner. I'm a Yankee when they win, which is most of the time, and when they don't, which is a rarity, which is why you're all hot and bothered right now. I get it. Every flea-bitten mongrel dog has their day in the sun. So you...
Exactly.
I know you're all jazzed, and your little Woody is standing up because the Yankees are losing. I mean, enjoy it, fucker. because it's not going to last. That's the only thing that I have to say is the Yankees are losing right now, and guess what? It's not going to be that way for much longer, so enjoy it, you stupid, dumb, rat bastard. Oh,
yep.
Yeah. Just tell me. Hey, dude, I get it.
Hey, why don't you tell us how you really feel?
I know, huh, Sonny? Well, actually, Dream is always civil, but I would turn and tell him, like, dude, it's not my fault you ain't getting any. But if this is what gets you off, you're losing, hey, more power to you. Just take your mess and go make it somewhere else. But congratulations.
Good.
I'm really happy that the Yankees and all their charity, when they're giving to the rest of baseball, makes you happy. I am so happy for you. Go get your Woody somewhere else because I don't want the mess here. So, yeah, no, I am a rat bastard. And, dude, we're not saying anything against you being a Mets fan, not today, Mets fan tomorrow. I don't know what the hell you are, Zeke, but I know you've been a Mets fan since I've known you, but now you say you're not a Mets fan? I mean, is this like a cry for help? I mean, did you call, like, the suicide hotline and they put you on hold?
That's an old Rodney Dangerfield joke. That's an old Rodney Dangerfield joke. That's great.
Oh, man, no respect.
Just share a room with a mop.
All of my jokes are old and stupid, all right?
Well, that's because we are old, so that's...
Have you not been listening to Joe?
Oh, man.
Hey, guys, we're having a wonderful morning this morning. I do want to welcome Gridiron Girl. She is in the chat room, so there you go. And I'm going to put her on blast right now, folks. Football season is coming up, and I'm inviting her to join us. She's already called in a few times. She does say, dude, it's too damn early in the morning. She's been cool. And from day one that I've known her, she's like, 6 a.m.? Really? Really? You know, the undertone was, you're a county worker. How the hell can you get up so early? But the other part was, it's way too early, dude. She has called into our evening programs, and it's a lot of fun what she does. But I'm inviting her to join us on Sunday mornings and even in a little while, the Break It Down show when we go over some of the football stuff. Because Cuervo and Sonny, when it comes to football, they are the bomb. So, Gridiron Girl, I've always called, I would ask Gridiron Girl, hey, is your dad a terrorist? What do you say to that? Because you are the bomb.
Dude, what is it, 36 more days? 35 more days?
I didn't get it either. Anyway, I'm sorry, what was that?
So what is it, like 36, 35 more days till kickoff?
I'm having a laughing attack. What do you tell us when football starts?
Yeah.
Oh, that's horrible. All right.
No.
I hate this, man. All right, Tyrants. I'm gonna tell you something right now. This is one reason why I'm not too fond of some of the more disgusting police officers. I'm not going to say exactly what city I live in, but I'm sure this is true probably closer around the country. A guy speeding a little bit, not horribly, just a little bit, going probably a little bit over 40, maybe closer to 50 on a regular street, you know, regular highway. This police officer decides it is in his best interest to flip on his lights, make an illegal left turn, flooring it, so other cars don't even have a minute's notice. So I got people, like, slamming on the brakes kind of deal so that he can stop traffic. He goes over the middle divider, turns, and floors it down the street to pull this guy over. What was not safe? Seriously. That's what bugs me. Stuff like that, it just irritates me. It's like, really? You couldn't let this guy slide for 5 miles an hour? Couldn't let him slide for maybe 6 or 7 miles an hour. You know, you're going to make people slam on their brake. You're going to fly over a middle divider. You're going to screech away and possibly cause, like, 20 more accidents than would normally happen. It's not like this guy was, like, running a red light. This guy had his green light. He was good. It's sorry. My rant for the morning. One of many, I'm sure.
That's all right. Don't worry about it. It's all good. Ladies and gentlemen, we're well into the second period here on our Saturday morning program. We're joining the, well, we're about the mid-mark. We're doing very well. Of course, we have Dream from Southern California. We have Sonny Clark from, the Great Republic of, we think we're bigger than all of you, but the reality, we're all a bunch of cocksuckers, so I don't know.
Something like that.
I do apologize, folks. My language is abhorrent today, and you can look that word up. What was the word that I used today in, or during the week that they all flipped out? Oh, what was that word? It has to do with definition. I'm going to look it up. It was so funny because someone used the word, let's see, I think they used the word unsavory, and they said the real word for it is asshole, and I used the word to describe that, and the guy said, yeah, but don't you need, you know, like the definition for that? And I turned him, I just need it, you dumbass. I'm like, oh my God, I have to remember the word. It's funny how it's, my lexicon just lies out with all the pejoratives, but that's neither here nor there.
You were preaching to the choir, sir. I was the only person in high school that owned an unabridged dictionary. So, I mean, this thing could stack like a couple encyclopedias on top of it and still have not enough room to cover the space.
You know, I've had girls ask me and say, where do you make up all these words? And, you know, I'm like, oh, well, there went that chance. That looks stupid. I read. Okay, when someone tells you, I mean, as far as a guy, when a girl comes up to you and tells, geez, why do you make up all these words? You know, all the desires, like, gone. It's like, oh, my God, it's a moth head. It's a moth. It's like, you know, forget it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't make them up. I read, you dumbass. And you're in college, aren't you? Oh, my God. But anyway.
She's going to be operating on you soon.
Oh, Lord. Again, good morning, Matt Alvarez. Good morning, Gridiron Girl, Cuervo, Cast Potato, and, of course, the... Sup, my brother? He says to Matt. I was listening to Matt's program yesterday morning, and, it is in the morning. It's 11 o'clock to 1 p.m. And, of course, Gridiron Girl was there visiting, so it's kind of cool having a conversation. But, Matt, coffee is 100% right, dude. You're always... It's like you're in the chat room and then you're not. It's like you're a Klingon bird of prey, dude. It's like you're activating your cloaking device. I wonder when I was going to get my Star Trek line in there. And, you're like, you're there and then you're not. But you did admit on air, you did say that it was your, well, I don't know if it was desktop or laptop. Let me see. Yeah, I think it was your desktop. I don't think it would have been your laptop, because if it would have been a laptop, I would have bragged and said, way to go, Matt. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Matt just does disappear in the chat room. It's kind of funny. So, but anyway, of course, Matt is the star on Fridays at 11 a.m. The Sports Opinion Show with Matt Alvarez covers wrestling. He had some fine guests on yesterday. I think I knew one of them, and he knew me. I'm not referring to biblical in that, but I'm just, he recognized me, and that was kind of cool. I think it was Matthew Kid Zombie, so I'm not certain. So anyway, there we go, folks. Sonny Clark, when is the first preseason football game? Is it next weekend?
Hall of Fame weekend. It starts with the Hall of Fame game, and then the rest of the games start off the week after that.
Hall of Fame, either today or tomorrow.
I think it's tomorrow, actually. The Hall of Fame game's tomorrow. I think the Hall of Fame induction ceremony's tonight, if I'm not mistaken.
Sonny Clark, you are not mistaken. It is at 4 p.m. Pacific time today, 6 o'clock your time, or as those elitist bastards from the East Coast like to say, oh, no, it's 7 o'clock our time. So
yeah,
on the East
our
Coast,
time,
it's
yeah.
Yeah, 7 p.m.
But, yeah, I'll probably watch it. Well, no, I won't, actually, because
Why?
I've got some things that I'm going to do. I will tape it, though, because I always like the Hall of Fame induction ceremony for the NFL. They usually do a pretty good job there in Canton. I'm not a big fan of the game, just because I'm not a big preseason football team. The only reason why I watch preseason is to see some of the players that come out of the IFL or the lower leagues to try to make the team. That's about the only reason why I will sit and I'll watch a preseason game.
Yeah. I agree with you on that one, man. If you get a chance to see the players you don't normally see, you know, they're trying to earn their spots, and it's much respected, the effort.
Yep.
Well, as I mentioned before, Ray Guy is heading the class of the Hall of Fame induction week, 4 p.m. tonight. The others that are being inducted that I mentioned earlier, Derek Brooks, Claude Humphrey, Walter Jones, Andre Reed, Michael Strahan, and Aeneas Williams. Once again, congratulations to all of you gentlemen. Your moment.
You had Aeneas Williams
right
on our show.
Yes, you
back,
did. And
back
guess
in the
what?
Day.
Now you're going to have them before, and now you're going to have them after. And when I say you're going to have them, I'm referring to as a guest. So
right.
I think that's absolutely awesome. Maybe he'll be on your program soon enough. That would be neat.
Yeah.
You've had Hall of Famers before and after, Sonny, which is really awesome.
Yeah, it's but Ray Guy being inducted in the Hall of Fame is like, you know, there's just so many other kickers. Hell, Pat Summerall's not in the NFL Hall of Fame or the Football Hall of Fame. It's ridiculous. And Pat Summerall was a kicker, but he is better known for his broadcasting. But, geez, I mean, if Pat Summerall can't be in there, Ray Guy shouldn't be in there. So he needs to I do have a problem. And coming from a kicker, you know, we don't get any respect, but I can think of four or five other kickers that need to be in there before Ray Guy, and I know he was the best punter. But when you really think about what the punter does for a football team, the kickers who kick the field goals are more valuable than the punter. So he shouldn't be in.
I'm just going to throw this out there. Do you think that it could have something to do with them possibly eliminating a kicking role in the future, where they're trying to just kind of squeeze one in there and say, hey, look, we respect kickers because they got so much negative impact?
The NFL does not believe that kickers are Hall of Fame eligible. I mean, seriously, they've never elected one up until 4 p.m. today.
Yeah.
What does that tell you? And there have been... let's see. Shall we go down the likes of Uwawan Shawman? Yeah, we could go with him. Reggie Roby. I mean, Reggie Roby was a monster. I remember when that guy would do his punt. That's where hang time was invented, even though they say Ray Guy.
He started that. You're right. You're right,
Reggie
Scorekeeper.
Roby.
He started that.
This guy, he dropped
Miami Dolphins.
Sips. Yeah. Bam! And all the sports networks were like, count them, count the seconds. And it had a hang time of like 4 seconds. It was unbelievable.
Yep.
It was a monster. But
and those are punters. Kickers, Matt Vanderjack, needs to be in there. Nick Kading needs to be in there. As far as that, Sofer and Longwell, those are the ones that should be considered. Now, you know, there's some players that are still playing, like, you know, when you think about some of the kickers that are, Robbie Gould, he's done a great job as far as kicking, and Rob Baronis and Huska, it probably will outkick everybody. That's right, I know kickers. So.
wait a minute, Sonny Clark. If Ray Guy is a Hall of Famer, and I love
he's not
saying this, Shane Leckler is a Hall of Famer, baby.
Shane Leckler. Here we go. Here we go.
He is the best punter in all of football today.
No,
he
punters should not be allowed
years
in the Hall of Fame. The punters need to be allowed. I'm telling
you. I don't want you to beat me. All right?
No. Yeah. Punters should not they have little, and I'm talking little outcome to a game. They come in every once in a while and kick the football. I'm sorry, they're not. The only thing is they kick the ball on fourth down. No, you got to get it. If you're going to put a kicker in the Hall of Fame, you have to put a kicker in there, not a punter, but a kicker. It's ridiculous.
Well, Mr. Couch Potato, this is why I love being the scorekeeper, and it's funny because the rules for NFL induction are pretty simple, and every player is eligible. And the definition of Hall of Fame, at least in baseball, is being above your peers. But if Ray Guy is a Hall of Famer, I guess I can see Joe Morgan in baseball being a Hall of Famer.
There you go.
Oh, my God. I have a 271 hitter.
Yeah, put him in
the Hall of Fame. You know, congratulations. Chicken Wing himself is in the Hall of Fame. So there you go, folks.
Hey,
Sebastian.
Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, the first kicker that will make the Hall of Fame, if he makes it, and I'm talking about field goal kicker, it's going to be Sebastian Janikowski. That's what's going to happen. He won't even be the best kicker of his time, but he's going to be the one there because he's going to be known for it. Vanderjack should be in there without question. I mean, he is the best place kicker of all time. And he should be in there, but he won't because he really, you know, when you say Mike Vanderjack compared to Sebastian Janikowski, people know who Sebastian Janikowski is because they pushed him because of what he can and what he can do more so than Mike Vanderjack, who did it quietly and kicked for two teams in the NFL.
Yeah, Sonny Clark, when you say Mike Vander or whatever in the hell, first of all, I never say Mike Vander or whatever in the hell. I don't, so I'm not
Mike Vanderjack.
Whatever, Vanderjack. All right, Mike Vanderjack. So your line is, when you say Mike Vanderjack, my answer is no, I don't.
Yeah, you don't know who he is. Why? Because he never got the notoriety the way all you got to do is take a look at the reason why, you know, people know who Janikowski is. He's a drunk, he's a fat ass, and he can kick the ball. He's all things that really football is not, and he's out there kicking the football, kicking field goals.
Sonny Clark, hold on.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
The man, the myth, the one who is America's hero. He is part of the A-team, no doubt about it. We have Cuervo on with us right now. Good morning. Obviously, we're talking about football, and Cuervo has decided to grace us with his presence. What up, buddy?
What's going on, guys? Good morning. I'm part of the Justice League, by the way. I'm not part of the A-team. I'm Justice League.
He's Justice League.
All right, then who are you? You're not G.I. Joe, and that's kind of insulting, but who would you be in?
Kung Fu Grip. He's got Kung Fu Grip.
You could just call me Superman. I'm made of steel, pretty much.
He's the Superman of sports talk radio.
So all the time that I've played Superman for Lenny Melnick, deep down in some dark secret, you've been like, that stupid, dumb scorekeeper.
He's being slided.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's sour grapes every time I hear it.
All right, hold on a minute. I'm just kidding. I'm stupid. I'm sorry, but here we go. This is for Cuervo.
I still like if you didn't know. Now, when he gets old and gray like us, then we will grace him with that. Actually, I'm surprised that he's not with the Rick. He wants the Ric Flair introduction.
Nah, heck no.
But that is Superman. Very well done on the theme. I mean, guys, if you think about it, when you hear and there are some bits of music that you will know in all time, and when you hear that theme. Everyone knows it's Superman. Unless your dad has it, I think, you know, there. Folks, we're in the second half now. Sports Talk with the guys. We're in the third quarter now. Having a wonderful morning. Thank you, Matt, Gridiron Girl, Cuervo, Cap Potato, and Zeke in the chat room. And, of course, my illustrious cohorts right here. We have Dream, Couch Potato, and the aforementioned Cuervo. Having a great morning. Cuervo,
I missed Cuervo last night.
Say who?
I missed Cuervo last night. I thought he was going to do an on campus with Cuervo last night, and I missed it. I got home from what I was doing, and I went to look for it, and I did not see it. I was a little disappointed.
No, I didn't do one, Sonny. You know, had other things going on. But I'm going to do one definitely next Friday, just a little intro to, you know, what to look for this year, and just talk a little bit about teams that we think might be a surprise, maybe a little bit of Heisman Trophy talk. I know it's early, but, hey, you know, it's always fun to talk about. You know, who other than Jameis Winston should we look for and things like that. So that'll definitely be next Friday, probably around 7 or 8 o'clock our time. And that's going to be the first show. And then we're going to start breaking down some of the conferences, of course, the SEC, the Big Ten, the Pac-12, all those conferences, you know, and then maybe give a Final Four prediction right before the first games.
There you go.
Well, there it is, folks, no doubt. Campus on Cuervo every Friday on the Couch Potato Sports Channel. Gotta tell you, a lot of good stuff. I want to go on to a few other things. I don't know if you caught this, gentlemen, and we can go over any other story that we may have already passed or not. But, yes, yes, Cuervo.
No, I'm sorry. Before you move on, and I didn't mean to cut you off, I just wanted to talk about real quick what you guys were talking about that kind of triggered me to call into the show as far as kickers getting in the Hall of Fame and why Ray Guy is in and things like that. I just wanted to give my perspective real fast, and then, you know, and then you can move on. Ray Guy. Okay, he changed from what I know. I mean, of course, I didn't live in the 70s, so I didn't get to see Ray Guy play in person. But it seems to me that he changed the, you know, moments in games based on doing things like punting inside the five. I mean, he totally changed the momentum of a game, or that's what I see from it. And, oh, by the way, they only have an award in college named after him. So that kind of says a lot about the guy, too, as far as making an argument as to why he has made it finally into the Hall of Fame. The Ray Guy Award, for those who don't know, it's awarded to the best punter in college. So they actually get an award for that. And there's a name that you never mentioned, Sonny. I think the first kicker, if a kicker ever gets in, the first one that's going to get in, let's be real here. How could you forget Adam Vinatieri, who won 2 Super Bowls with his leg? That would probably be the guy that I would put in before any of those other guys.
Well, as far as impact, I get where you're coming from with that. I completely understand. I didn't forget about him. But as far as Vinatieri is in his career is concerned, he has put up some big numbers. But really, even kicker, you know, some of the, I mean, his percentage, I don't know what it is off the top of my head compared to Vanderjack. And now, granted, when you talk about the percentage, it's not by much, but if it's probably about 4 or 5 points, but the difference between those 4 or 5 points is huge as far as when kicking field goals is concerned. So, I like Vanderjack, but you're right, Vinatieri probably will. You changed my mind. Probably Vinatieri will make it because of the Super Bowl wins and the clutch kicking that goes on. So you're probably right. So Vinatieri will probably get in there, but he won't be the best kicker as far as percentages concerned as well. So you're right. So big time moment, Adam Vinatieri. You're probably right.
Oh my God! Hold on, and Dream, before you jump in on this one, I'm in, and here it is, Sonny Clark. I call personal foul on you, and Cuervo,
okay.
I call you for clipping. I'm going to call you for clipping right now, and I'll tell you why. It usually takes me an hour or 2 hours to change Couch Potato's mind, and it took you all of 3 minutes. I mean, that's like the hurry-up offense. I'll grant you, that's the hurry-up offense. But you did it illegally. You got a few clips in there, and that's why I'm going to call you for clipping. And you,
Clutch
Sonny Clark, And for you, Sonny Clark, I'm going after you for roughing the passer and also for offensive interference. Because, Sonny Clark, I didn't know you were that easy. I did not know you were that easy. But fine, whatever. I think
what happened there in reality is I missed the obvious. That's what happened.
Oh, you missed the obvious. Well, you know what? Personal foul right there, right there. And
being
if you're not careful,
being
I'm going to
so
whip
stupid.
Out a yellow card. No, I'm going to whip out a yellow card. I'm pissed because it takes me 2 hours to convince you. And it took Cuervo on the hurry-up offense 3 minutes.
Don't make
but
me
add
salt to the
about
wound,
kickers,
scorekeeper. Don't make me add salt to the wound, scorekeeper. You hear me?
Don't make me add salt to the wound. I'm going to cry unsportsmanlike conduct, but anyway.
I missed the name. He's absolutely right. Vinatieri would probably get in before Janikowski because of the clutch kicking. I missed an obvious one.
I
know kickers, and I know Vinatieri is not even in the top 10 of kicking. So that's probably the reason why it slid out of the back of my mind. But, yeah, the clutch kicking is big time. Maybe kickers should have their own little Hall of Fame or something. Make him feel better.
Hey, Sonny, by the way, I want to say Pat Summerall is in, too, but it's not for, obviously, his play. I think he got in as a broadcaster.
He's in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame. He's not in the NFL. He's not in the Football Hall of Fame.
That's hilarious.
I take back my annoying screen then. Because I know he's dead now, and you're saying that he's in the Broadcasting Hall of Fame, but not the NFL Hall of Fame?
That is correct.
Are there any broadcasters in the NFL Hall of Fame, Sonny?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, you know what? They're just going to get around to it eventually. The NFL has a supreme opinion of itself when it comes to electing people, and they're going to get around to it when they're going to get around to it. And you're never going to be happy because it's a committee within the NFL that chooses who gets in right. No fan vote, no management, no nothing. It's just very simple, the NFL committee. So, hey, it's who
simple
they
fact
think.
It is that Leslie Visser is the only woman in the Football Hall of Fame, and we had her on our show, one of our first guests actually on our show, Leslie Visser. Wow, we got awful quiet in there on that one.
Yeah.
But it's true. She was on our show. She's the only woman in the Football Hall of Fame, and that's a woman who knows football. I'm telling you right now, Leslie, and she's also married to another commentator. Oh, his name is slipping my mind. I'll think of it in a moment, but she's married to another NFL commentator, is known for – he made the call of Carl Yastrzemski's home run, the Boston Red Sox. His name is just – Dick Stockton. She's married to Dick Stockton.
Really?
Leslie married Dick Stockton? Really?
Yeah, years ago. They've been married like 30 years.
Wow.
Wow.
They actually have a – they also have a film credit – in movie Good Will Hunting, because that story of Robin Williams about how he met his wife is actually the story about how Dick Stockton and Leslie Visser met. So just some, you know.
So I have a question. Is her husband in the Hall of Fame as well?
No.
Oh, my God. He must have never gotten a minute's sleep. I'm just thinking, because in my head, if my wife and I were in the same job and she won some prestigious award or was nominated, I mean, nationally, worldwide, whatever you want to call it, mm-hmm. and I didn't, I would be devastated. I mean, I'd be happy for her, but I'd be devastated because I'd never live it down. It would be, hey, babe, can you get the trash? All right, you won the Hall of Fame, all right. No. Hey, babe, you want to buy dinner? All right, you're in the Hall of Fame. God damn it.
I would never live it down.
That would be
well,
every night,
way,
every night.
I do dream that is absolutely all. Yeah, very good, every night. Oh, good. I do want to say, folks, that I will be receiving my second production credit and or second, well, yeah, we're going to be getting a production credit for a movie that's going to debut, I believe, in August when it's out. I will share it with everyone here. I won't put it on my Facebook page because I don't. I just don't like doing that. But NDB Media has been thanked on celluloid twice. And as soon as it's out, I will be putting up the post as well. NDB Media.
Don't hide it. Scorekeeper, you got to let them know about the movie that's coming out, about the idiocy of Stephen A. Smith.
Hold on. Well, I didn't really want to talk about Stephen A. Smith because it's a waste of time. But, yeah, we were involved in the Stephen A. Smith movie. Yeah, that's funny.
Well, no, I had a post on Facebook, and I was hashtagging Stephen A. Smith, but I added an extra S on accident, so it said Stephen A. Smith, and I was like, I'll just leave it.
Oh, that's funny.
I'm good with that mistake.
Yeah, you know, guys, we've already spoken about Ray Rice, ad infinitum, ad absurdum, and once again, we were talking about it before everyone else was. And another thing, this whole thing about Stephen A. Smith, folks, I'm going to keep it under 30 seconds right now. This is Stephen A. Smith. Dude, you were wrong all the way. There's no way that you can make up for it. Dude, you just let everyone know, and you especially told women, that, oh, be careful what you say, because no matter what, doesn't matter who and what the situation is, you can provoke your man. Stephen A. Smith, there's no covering it up. Fucked up again. Again, Stephen A. Smith.
He did.
Congratulations.
Yes, he did.
To you. Yeah, and there's no way. Oh, and by the way, he's not on a leave of absence. He is suspended. And
yep.
We got that. Yeah, he was not on leave
of
absence.
Yeah, but he'll be at work on Monday morning.
And the funny thing is, in job terms, he got suspended longer than Ray Rice.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, he did. But anyway, that's my tirade. Cuervo, you want to say anything about Stephen A. Smith? Then we'll go to Sonny, then Brian. But I want to move on because it's over and done.
Oh, Brian,
we know it's stupid.
No, go ahead.
No, Cuervo?
No, nothing from the peanut gallery.
Thank you. Sonny, there's your man crush. You have one for Stephen A. You do. And you know what? I'm going to call you for unsportsmanlike conduct right now, Sonny Clark. There, the yellow card is out. Okay, go ahead.
Wow, we're crossing sports, too. All right.
Yeah, I cross all the time. Sonny Clark?
Yes?
Nothing on Stephen A. Smith? Oh, please.
Stephen A. Smith is what it is. I've been hearing all the stories and everything, and you know, I'll just say it. His bigger than life persona in his own mind got his ass in trouble on a subject that was outside of his expertise, which is sports.
Wow,
that's a very, very democratic way of putting it.
It's not democratic. It's just the way it is. This guy thinks he's an expert in anything. He thinks he can talk his way out of it. Well, he out of anything or about anything. And the fact of the matter is he put his big fat foot in his mouth and he started talking. And what happened was he forgot where he was. And when he forgot where he was, which was on ESPN, First Take, national TV, the biggest brand and the biggest show on ESPN outside of any NFL show, he forgot where he was. And what happened was, and I'm just going to say it, he went back to the hood. He thought he was talking with his homies, and that is what ended up happening. He didn't remember where he was. And he didn't remember the politics of what ESPN is.
I'm going to have a comment on that in a moment, but and it's about the 24-hour news cycle, and it is something serious. But Dream, do you have any comment on Stephen A. Smith so we can get beyond this?
No, I think he's done. I think he's done for. He's going to be just wasted. I mean, he's going to face the sentence and he's going to come back and then everybody's going to forget about it. He's going to say something else that's stupid. But I got to drop out, guys. It's been a blast. Have a great morning. Thank you, Scorekeeper, for having me on. I know I've been noisy. I will talk to you later, Sonny. Cuervo, good to hear from you, man.
Take care.
You too, Dream.
Hey, Dream, thank you. Dream, you haven't been that noisy because we still have Zeke with us. He always fails when there's too much noise. Thank you, Dream. As far as Stephen A. Smith, I want to say this first and foremost. Thank you, Stephen A. Smith, for being born. And thank you for being born because you give us good and bad. Stephen A. Smith, I know you have busted your hiney to get to where you are, and I give you props. I give you props because you will stand by what you say to the very end, right or wrong. And more often than not, Stephen A. Smith, you are, and I will say this carefully, you are right in your point of view. Your commentary does not have peer. You are alone when it comes to your point of view. And oftentimes you do have an enlightening point of view. But there is a little bit of a problem, Stephen A. Smith. You know that you stand, or you believe that you stand above many people. And that's fine, Stephen A. Smith. I thank you for being in my world so that I can actually countermand you often. Because without people like you, Stephen A. Smith, well, yeah, without people like you,
we wouldn't have anything to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, smart people such as myself, I said it, can't look smarter without people like you. So thank you, Stephen A. Smith, because we actually, unlike you, play it real, and we play it straight. But
let's be honest, though, Scorekeeper, just really quick.
Let's be honest.
Let's be honest. I would be Stephen A. Smith if I was Stephen A. Smith, and the reason why I would be is because he's getting the Quan. This is a guy, and with all due respect for the guy, hey, he knows what it's all about. Let's be honest. The First Take is the biggest show on ESPN outside of any NFL program on ESPN. After that, it's First Take. Okay, the guy's got an ego because the First Take would have went away if it wasn't because of Stephen A. Smith. And plus, they're paying him very well. The suspension is just a little vacation for him, but he's still doing his radio show, so it's not really a vacation. It's just not going into the studios over in Bristol. That's it. So, you know, it's not a big deal. ESPN don't even think it's a big deal. And the woman that was making a ruckus about it came back to ESPN. She will not be part of ESPN when her contract is up. And they keep Stephen A. Smith a lot longer than they will with the woman who made a big deal out of it.
Okay, right. I don't know who she is, Sonny. And I will readily – I did. I was – pretty rude to him right now when I was beginning my whole thing. But I did say at the beginning, I acknowledge who and what he is. He has worked his butt off to get where
yep.
he is. And there's no doubt. And I said, he has no peer. So, folks, please don't mistake that. I acknowledge that he has no peer when it comes to that. But it is a singular vision, and it is a singular point of view, and it is Stephen
yep.
A. Smith. Stephen A. Smith tends to get the story wrong. He will only report on what is convenient to him.
Right.
And there may be racial overtones with what I just said. Fine. I don't care. Stephen A. Smith, when you do go with those stories, you still don't get them right. But you think you do because you think you have your ear to the player.
That's it.
And you're lucky because they all go to you, Stephen A. Smith. That's fine. Good for you. Merry Christmas. And I'm happy for you. But, dude, do your homework. And I'm going to go back to the article that we were talking about when he went off. NJ.com answered you back, Stephen A. Smith. Said, whoa, wait. You illiterate? We report. They're the first ones that called Stephen A. Smith analphabetic. Because they said, wait a minute, our report never said this, 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 and this. And they pointed out five key errors in Stephen A. Smith's story. And to this day, Stephen A. Smith has yet to respond. Why? Again, because you only do what's convenient for you, Stephen A. Smith. And I'll give you props. You have your ear to the masses. And this is where ESPN has some problems, guys. ESPN has problems because this is something that Sonny Clark and I have been discussing for a while. I may have mentioned it to Cuervo. I'm not certain. But we are now in a 24-hour news cycle. And ESPN is the biggest player right now. And they're being threatened by other agencies. And they are forcing themselves into the story often. And it's to the point of almost being disgusting. Sonny Clark and I have been wailing for the longest time, ad infinitum, ad absurdum, that ESPN is making this bigger than what it is. It shouldn't even be. There is no story here, and yet they're trying to make a story. And ESPN is good at what they do.
Yep.
But there's a bad side to what ESPN is doing. Because it's a 24-hour cycle, and they're trying to force themselves in there, things happen at different hours of the day. And it happens more often than not. You're stuck with who you have. And the indomitable Stephen A. Smith does slip, as do all other hosts, and they're going to say something stupid. And, you know, you live by the sword and you die by the sword. And ESPN, this comes from me, the scorekeeper, the commissioner. You know, good luck, guys. If you're going to continue to try to make the story, to try to force yourselves in there, you're going to be getting more Stephen A. Smith awards. And that's putting your foot in your mouth because it's dangerous relying on these people and letting them speak when they don't know. And I'm just going to be along for the ride watching ESPN shoot themselves because if you continue to force yourself into the story, it's going to be bad. And I'm happy to watch from the sidelines. I think it's great. Well,
that's what we do here. I mean, let's be honest. ESPN has taken sports into a totally different era. It started with sports talk. Well, it started with ESPN. Okay, coming back into it in the late 70s. It started, that's when it pretty much started. And then they decided to dabble in something that they weren't any good at, which was radio. But what has ended up happening? You're talking about forcing themselves in the story. Yes and no. I get what you're saying, but what has ended up happening is that they've become so big that you can't be a sport unless you're on ESPN. And that it's not ESPN forcing the story. It is in reality, it's sports fault that they depend upon ESPN so much, and that's the problem. Sports can go on without ESPN, believe it or not, but ESPN is known as the worldwide leader in sports because of their impact on what they can do for sport. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. College sports or any other sports, if ESPN came up and said, you know, guys, we want to go ahead and we want to broadcast your game, but it's going to have to happen at 2 o'clock in the morning, everybody would actually, that is not the NFL and NBA, but any other sports besides the four majors, would actually have to stand there and say, I have to give this consideration. And that's the problem. Okay, when you have that much control over sports and sports being where it, in order for it to succeed, it's got to have some kind of notoriety, that is the problem with sports. That's the problem with ESPN. Because I can put it up on the level of the IFL and the Indoor Football League. The Indoor Football League is a great football league. It is a good league to see talent, okay? But no one knows about the Indoor Football League. Why? Because they're not on ESPN, okay? People know of the AFL. Why? Because they're on ESPN. So the Arena Football League is known, I'm not saying big-time numbers, but when you say Arena Football League, people know what that is. Why? Because it's on ESPN. It's on a major channel. But when you say the Indoor Football League, their assumption is you're talking about the Arena Football League. The assumptions that, you know, because of who actually the information gets out to the masses comes from ESPN, and usually ESPN only, and that's the problem.
It is a problem, folks, and it's something that we are going to be watching for a while. And I got to tell you, Sonny Clark, I think that was well said. Quarterwell, do you have any comments on that before we go into some other sports right now?
I guess I'll say this, you know, Sonny makes good points as far as, you know, ESPN and how they are and things like that. It's, I just hate how they try to cover what they really feel. Like, to me, I think, and this is why, I don't know why you guys don't like Colin. He just tells it like it is. And that's the thing I like about him the most. He doesn't care if they suspend him. And I just don't see why people are so upset with what Stephen A. Smith said. You asked for the man's opinion. Well, there you go. Now everyone wants to get upset because of the way he said things. It's like you have to pick and choose what you want. And to me, I'm not saying he was 100% right in what he said, how he said it, whatever the case may be. But when you ask for someone's opinion, you know, prepare to, you know, get the man's opinion. So I don't know. I just think that they try to be too politically correct.
That's it.
And everybody knows, everybody just sees right through the BS, right through it. And that's what's been turning me off, and I haven't talked about this yet. But I've been really getting turned off by ESPN a lot because of the BS that they keep feeding us on Mike and Mike, on SportsCenter, on First Take, and all these different shows. And you know, they have callers call in and, you know, start to express their opinion. And if they don't like what they hear, oh, they cut that person off. And it's like,
yep.
Wow, really? Is it
yep.
because you don't want to hear the truth about situations? Is it because you're afraid that people are going to, you know, agree with the outside world, so to speak? It's ridiculous. It's really ridiculous.
That's a good point, what you're talking about. They're afraid, and they cut people off when they go into either a subject matter or the truth that they don't want to put out there because they've got an agenda, and that agenda is to keep it to where and believe me, ESPN didn't want to suspend Stephen A. Smith, but that they were under the pressure of what was going on as far as what little pressure ESPN does feel is backlash, and especially with ESPNW, the ESPN Women's Channel, and what they were doing, it had a bit of big effect, and that is the reason why. It's the only reason why Stephen A. Smith was suspended. The fact that now Colin Cowherd, I will respectfully disagree with my colleague, Cuervo. He says he doesn't care about what he says. I am a firm believer that he watches his words probably more than anybody on ESPN. I think that this guy studies exactly what he's going to say, when he's going to say it, and going off the cuff like we do on our show, Colin Cowherd would never get on the air on ESPN without a script and knowing exactly what he's going to say, and more importantly, how he's going to say it. Because even though it sounds like he's being 100% honest, he is very, very careful about how he presents his honesty to where it does not have backlash on him. He may say something that people might not agree with, but it won't put him in a position where people are going to say, should he be suspended about something? Now, Stephen A. Smith, this guy, they're always talking about whether or not that they got to have some kind of action against him because sometimes he doesn't go politically correct like ESPN not expects, okay, demands. It demands the political correctness because they are known as what they are. They've grown into the monster that is ESPN, and that's why sports talk radio is not honest anymore, because it's more about covering their own asses, more so than about getting the truth and getting it out there to where people can really believe it. That's just kind of the way I look at ESPN.
All right, gentlemen, look. Cuervo said an interesting word, and you know when it comes to words, you know how I am. And
yes.
Use the word truth. You know, the word truth is really quite simple. And you could equate the word, and I'm sorry if I use the word equate. I apologize, kid. But the word truth can be hooked up or connected with fact. But there's a problem. The word truth actually has multiple meanings, and this is where we get into trouble. Truth itself, you could even say the phrase, to thine own self be true. To thy own self be true. And that's the way people use the word truth more often than not. What is it to you? Not to him, not to her, not to it, but you. And that is a genuine problem that we have in today's world. Cuervo, you said that when people call in and they speak the truth, they get cut off on ESPN. Well, first of all, folks, whether it's true or not, they're going to be cut off because it doesn't fit into the standard of what ESPN is trying to do.
Yep.
ESPN is trying to do nothing more than to entertain. That's it, kids.
Yep.
They're
it's a showbiz, baby.
Done it well. And that's it. They are there to entertain. And they're going to get in trouble when they come out of that. And we've had proof of them coming out of that mold and screwing up. Because if they were into the truth, we wouldn't have ESPN that we have today. Because it would be based on facts. And when you have things based on facts, you only have one point of view, one story, one way. And when you look at what ESPN does, it is impossible for them to continue with truth. Because, again, there's only one way to look at it. It's either a fact or it isn't. And when you start telling that story, it gets old after a while. And that's why ESPN is not into the truth. They are into entertainment.
Yep.
And to take a step further with what Cuervo said, and this is probably going against what Cuervo said. He said that when they're speaking the truth, they get cut off. I don't know what they're saying, Cuervo. I don't know who they are. But when I hear people say, let's keep it real, let's be honest, I've heard that all my life. And I know those as being catchphrases now. They don't mean anything. When someone says, let's be honest, let's be real, I roll my eyes because I'm saying, dude, that's your opinion. And when it comes to people calling in, it is, in fact, their opinion. I know that. That might have been an oxymoron right there because I used the word fact and opinion. But that's what sports is, guys. It is our individual opinion. I don't know if there are any real truths. Even numbers, which I am fond of quoting and saying, it is a measurement on a particular thing. And even then, it's based on opinion. And what do I mean? Let's look at earned runs, guys. An earned run is very simple to determine. But when there is a play that is hit to the shortstop, and the shortstop may fumble it for a moment and throw it to first, it now becomes an opinion. Because the scorekeeper decides whether it's a hit or an error. So let's go for a moment and say it was an error, and that run comes across. That is now an unearned run. So that statistic of earned runs, which we take as a truth, is based on opinion. And in that microcosm, that's what sports is. It is based on an opinion, what we see and how we see it. There may be no truth in sport, but it is something that we all have together. And it's something that we all share. And when we try to establish truth and facts, that's where we all get into trouble. Sports is a forum where we get to compete. And by definition, it's we, us. We bring our strengths, we bring our weaknesses, and it's going to happen that we're going to make mistakes because of who and what we are. So when Stephen A. Smith and others say, we know this to be true, who is we? And what is true? Your experience? Well, Stephen A. Smith, Merry Christmas. That's your experience, not mine. And it's something that we all need to think about when we're talking about sports. And that's the frustrating thing, because it's like politics. Some of us are Democrats, some of us are Republicans, and some of us are independents, and some of us don't give a shit. And that's the way sports are. I invite everyone and challenge everyone to realize that this is going to happen all the time, and that it may not be worth expending all this energy and all this hatred and all this impatience when someone expresses an opinion. I may actually be defending Stephen A. Smith right now because it is, in fact, an opinion. And that's great. Cuervo says things that I don't like. Sonny Clark says things that I don't like. But I acknowledge them for what they are. They're his opinions. But when we cross a line and give our opinion to try to make something a fact, well, then we come back to the word truth itself again. And that is the problem. Because when Stephen A. Smith, let's be real, we all know that women can do their part not to provoke their men. That dumb bastard tried to make his opinion the truth. You don't do that. It doesn't work that way. And it never will. And I apologize for this becoming a sermon and I apologize for it becoming holier than thou. But think about it, guys. Think about how those things are. What is truth? Sorry, guys. I went off on a, I don't know where I went, an ugly tangent. Everyone's rolling their eyes like, what the fuck? Then go on to something else. Sonny, you still there?
I think Sonny dropped off.
No, he's there. I know you dropped off for a moment. You're back. Sonny, wake up. I know I put you to sleep, Sonny. Wake up.
He said he had to be right back. He left a comment in the chat room.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Oh, there he is. LOL. Okay, yeah. He'll be right back. Still listening to that. There you guys go. It's ESPN, folks. They're out to entertain. There is no truth that comes from ESPN.
The worldwide leader.
Yeah. The only thing that we do know is that they are trying to force their way into everything. So, yeah, Zeke, I do have that voice, don't I? Yeah. I think I can make a rock storm Normandy. I've been told that, so no disrespect, Cuervo. But, yeah,
nope,
I can get people to do things that, whatever. In golf, Cuervo, did you hear Dustin Johnson has been suspended for 6 months for testing positive for cocaine? Apparently, this is his second time. And when the news broke, I believe it was on Thursday, he said he was going to take some time off so that he could take care of some personal issues. And then Friday rolls around. Oh, crap. It was cocaine.
Yeah, that's the personal issue. And the personal business he probably has to take care of, it's called rehab. That's probably what it is. At least if he's smart, that's what it is. But, yeah. I mean, that was something that kind of, if you told me, oh, I expected that, I'd call you a flat-out liar because, yeah, no, I don't think anybody saw that one coming. Even though it's his second offense or his second time getting caught, I should say, I still would have never thought that, you know, it would happen again, which I didn't even know about the first time, so could have fooled me.
Now, Sonny, I'm not sure how it works in the PGA, but 6 months, that's a lifetime in the PGA. I mean, that is a serious infraction, isn't it?
Now, you're and just I was listening, but I put the phone down for like a minute. You're talking about Dustin Johnson, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah. We normally don't talk golf on this show, but, yeah, that is huge because you're talking about a portion of the season that is big where you have the bigs coming up. And now, Dustin Johnson, let's put it this way. First of all, I didn't necessarily know they tested, you know, for drug-related stuff in golf. I just didn't. I don't know how I knew about some of the ones, how the PGA knew about the ones that I have heard of in the past. I didn't know they necessarily tested for it. So I guess it shouldn't have been much of a stretch that the PGA tests for it. But until this one here, I didn't realize that they actually do go through. They have drug testing just as much as any other sport. So I find this story very interesting. This is the second time, and this is the first time we're hearing about this kind of – I didn't hear about the first one with Dustin Johnson before. So that being said, you're right. But that's like the NFL at the same time with the marijuana use. Before you get suspended for it, you get busted a couple of times before it's actually put out there. So, yeah, that is a big part of the season and a main part of the season as well.
Yeah, guys, Dustin Johnson, he's 30 years old. He was on the Ryder Cup team. He's on his way to being on a few other teams. You know, this major, I don't know what prime is in golf. It depends who you ask. Father Zeman in the seminary, every year he taught religion. He said the perfect the perfect age was whatever his age was, which was kind of funny. And 1 year was 42, next year was 43. Ha ha. What is the perfect age in golf? I don't know. I just know that a lot of people tell you in baseball, the perfect age is about 25, 26 through to 29. That's when your gargantuan monster years are going to happen, when you're in your prime. That's baseball prime. I don't know what it is in golf, but...
Well, I'll tell you what in golf. It's the late 20s to about 33, 34. This is the sports where you can be on the other side of 30 and it not affect you. Actually, that's when you're pretty much in your prime. Well, Tiger Woods is an exception of that rule usually.
Okay. All right. I appreciate that. Hey, folks, in some more golf news, they're playing the Bridgestone Invitational in Akron, Ohio, and the Webb.com Tour. The Barracuda Championship is in Reno, Nevada, and that's this weekend, folks. I don't know if you caught it in hockey. The Ottawa Senators signed goalie Robin Lehner to a 3-year extension. He was 12, 15, and 6 on the year with a 306 goals against average and a 913 save percentage. He played in 36 games. He got a – that was his career high, so good for him. Do you guys have anything for hockey you want to go over? Hey, guys, I'm back to doing the news the way I used to, collecting all the information throughout the week. I have more.
Keep going.
All right. Well, in horse racing, Del Mar officials have canceled the turf racing. You guys saw what happened. Sirius went down. That's the name of the horse, Sirius. And they switched to turf, or I'm sorry, they switched from turf, and they're going to be on Polytrack. So Cuervo asked the question in the chat room, Sonny. Are you guys going to be doing it? Are you going to be doing the Break It Down today, Sonny?
Yeah, I'm scheduled. I got the show scheduled. I just haven't brought up the thing. There's a show scheduled. I'll get the link and I'll put it in the chat room.
Okay, very quickly, folks. There you go. It'll be up in the chat room in a moment. In NASCAR this weekend, the GoBowling.com 400 in Long Pond, Pennsylvania. And Formula One is having the Honda Indy 200 Mid-Ohio in Lexington, Ohio. Really? The Mid-Ohio is in Lexington, Ohio? Oh, wow. Kind of cool. In some other notes, I believe you heard Michael Phelps, who in April announced he's coming out of retirement, is up for next week's U.S. National Championships. As you know, Phelps retired in 2012 after the London Games after winning 18 gold medals and 22 overall. Wow. And he has competed in 4 events, but this is his most daunting yet. Good luck, Mr. Phelps. So good for you. In tennis, the Tour City Open is, I don't know. I didn't write anything else. I guess they're playing right now. And let me see if I have anything else. Well, I think that's it for now. I covered a lot of the other news. Of course, we already went over baseball, basketball, and we have some football stuff right now. But if you guys want to give us a taste, there's a link in the chat room. So awesome. blogtalkradio.com/the-couch-potato. And then the rest of the program. That's kind of neat. And that's right there. You guys want to give us a little... Sonny, you want to give us a little idea what we're going to be getting right now in the program?
Have no clue. I have no clue. I've had one of those work weeks where I miss one of the major stories of indoor football. So that tells you I missed the big story of the week. That just tells you how busy I've been during the week this week. So I don't have an agenda. I mean, Sunday show, we've got the agenda. But for today's show, we'll just probably, maybe the Break It Down show, we probably should talk, call it the Wing It show as far as today is concerned.
Wow. Hey, you know what, Sonny? Fair enough. I want to go back. We have not done the Adam Dunn watch.
Yep, you got 7 minutes.
And I'm going to do it right now, folks. The Adam Dunn watch, we're going to it right now. Sheesh. And we're also going to do the sports joke of the day. I haven't gotten to that one as well, so give me a quick moment. But here we go. Adam Dunn. This week, Adam Dunn, you are just above average. No, Adam Dunn, you are average. In the last 10 games, you are hitting 270. Way to go, dude. You're getting, let's see, 56 million divided by 4. Hold on. 56 divided by 4. You're getting $14 million a year, Adam Dunn, and you're hitting 270. So let's look at what $14 million a year has given to the Chicago White Sox. For the season, Adam Dunn is now batting 230. His on-base is 362, and his slugging is 450. Not even 500. What a pussy. He has 17 home runs, 44 RBIs, and, uh-oh, folks, here we go. We're getting close to it again because he walked 5 times in the last 10 games and struck out 12 times. That's the Adam Dunn that we know, or I know. So Adam Dunn has struck out 112 times, and he's walked 61. That means he is almost back
2-1.
To 2-1 ratio. Wow. Wow, that's crazy. So, way to go, Adam Dunn. You have struck out 112 times.
How impressive.
But you have reached base, let me see, 69 hits and 61 walks. That means you have reached base 130 times, and you struck out 112. All right, well, good for you, Adam Dunn. Good for you. Because based on your career,
that's
yeah,
right up there.
He is ahead of his career goal because for his career, he has 1,606 hits plus 1,307 in walks. Oh, 29-13. Oh, okay. Well, he's gotten on base more than he struck out. But, okay, I'll give him that one. He has reached base 2,913 times, and he struck out 2,332 times. Okay? You still suck, Adam Dunn. But congratulations, Adam Dunn. You are being paid $14 million. So, Adam Dunn, you are baseball's version of Stephen A. Smith. You make people believe that you're good at what you do, but in reality, you suck. But all of the quan to you, Adam Dunn, you're getting $14 million a year. Oh, to be Adam Dunn. Oh, to be Adam Dunn. Wow. To be worthless and yet being paid $14 million. Way to go, Adam Dunn. I admire you. That's why I make fun of you. Wow. That's pretty bad.
Interesting. Yeah. Good stuff.
But he makes $14 million a year. So congratulations to you. Someone thought you were good, Adam. That's all that matters. You're getting your quan. And you are how old? If you were born in 79, 89, 99, 2009, so that's 30. He's 35 years old, Sonny.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
Yeah, someone's going to sign him.
Someone will sign him. Hey, this guy's going to be playing baseball for the next 5 years.
Well, I don't know about that.
He's 35. Some of the greats play until they're 42, 43.
Okay, well, I'm going to be very careful with that line, but the reality is Adam Dunn. Baseball is paying these players who gaucheous amounts of money, and they're just not having the same room for guys like that. This guy truly is one-dimensional. He was paid for one thing and one thing only, and he really wasn't even good at that. Chicago, in 4 years, we can say, got 1 year out of Adam Dunn, and on his second year with Chicago, or his third year with Chicago, it was by far an average. So, I know Chicago was hosed, good for them. Good for them. I'm happy Chicago got hosed because I told them, anyone signing Adam Dunn is stupid. So I was right. I was right. So, yeah. But more often than not, I'm wrong on everything else. So, folks, I want to thank everyone. It is what it is. I readily acknowledge it. Unlike Stephen A. Smith, I can admit that he's stupid. So, it's all good. Folks, the one you went to telling us we're down to a minute. So that's going to be it. We're out of here. Sonny, get out. Or
all right.
Start the program. You and Corvo.
I am. I'm going right now.
Get out of here. Thanks, folks. We're out of here. We're going to head on over to the Breaking Down show in a moment. I invite everyone to join us. Of course, we are Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. And other than getting a bit metaphorical today, we are still usually doing what we do best. So catch us every Saturday at 6 a.m. and follow the network at ndbmedia.com and ndbmedia.net. You can find out all about the program. We're here on blogtalkradio.com/ndbmedia and ndbmedia2 and twitter.com/ndbmedia and, of course, facebook.com/ndbmedia. Yes, I did that all on my own. Love you guys. We thank you. All fun on Saturday morning. And there she is. 10 seconds. She's whispering in my ear. We'll see you guys. Peace! Oh, damn. Where's the outgo? That's here somewhere. Where is it? I want my green eggs and ham. How's the outgo? Hold on. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming. Please drive carefully and arrive home safely. Good night.